probably like to start off with a little joke or something, but nothing came to mind and nothing happened that was funny. So unfortunately, I don't have a joke, which sucks, but next time. So there is a theme going on, and what the Lord has been dealing with me on this year has been soul issues, the soul. And I want to have an excellent soul. Currently, I do not, in case anyone was wondering. So, but that's what I'm working towards, and I believe that that's what God is working towards, at least in this house, for us to have an excellent soul. And I'm going to go into a little bit of that today. But I want to, the first thing that I want to talk about is freedom. What is freedom? Because we have the wrong definition. We're not going from God's definition on freedom. So I looked freedom up in Webster's, and freedom said that it's the state of being free or at liberty rather than in confinement or under physical restraint, such as he won his freedom after a retrial. Freedom is exemption from external control or interference or regulation. It's the power to determine action without restraint. Political or national independence. Exemption from the presence of anything like fear. Freedom from fear. Now, all those things are okay, but that is not what God talks about when God talks about setting his people free. Yes, he does want to set his people free from sin, and that means there is an absence of sin. But I believe that the Lord defines freedom as perfect alignment. Now, that might sound weird, but let me explain what that means. There's this. When I first came to this church 16, 17 years ago, we started doing this thing from this ministry called Streams. Remember that? I think it was John Paul Jackson. Was it his organization? And so part of what we were doing was trying to get into perfect alignment. What they said perfect alignment is, and I totally believe this, is our spirit is under the Spirit of God. In other words, our spirit is under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Then under that is our soul, and our soul is then under the influence of our spirit, who is under the control, under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And then our body is aligned under our soul, which is then our soul being influenced by the Spirit, by our spirit, who is being influenced by the Holy Spirit, is now influencing the body. That is perfect alignment, and that is what I believe God calls freedom. Because then anything, you can be locked up, what's the name of that guy, that Chinese guy, that the holy, huh? No, watch, no, the other Chinese guy that wrote, the Heavenly Man. Who's the Heavenly Man guy? Well, so he, so the Heavenly Man guy, he was tortured. Every bone in his body was broken for the gospel. And yet, he would tell you today that he had freedom. Even being in chains, he had freedom. Paul the Apostle had freedom in chains because he had perfect alignment. And it doesn't matter what the enemy can throw at you, you're in perfect alignment. You're not reacting out of your soul. But trust me, our souls fight for control. The Spirit's not fighting for control. The Spirit's fighting for influence. Okay.
Yeah, you can just go out.
Alignment is you. We give ourselves perfect alignment, not God. Experiences in spiritual experiences cannot give us perfect alignment. Because spiritual experiences are from God, but He allows us to have that choice to be perfectly aligned or not. He's given us everything that we need for perfect alignment, but it's up to us to choose that. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. They chose. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." So it's our choice. We have to pursue it. It ain't going to happen unless we pursue it. And pursue is to seek after eagerly, earnestly, endeavor to acquire an excellent soul. An excellent soul will give us perfect alignment. So a God experience can most certainly help in getting aligned correctly. But it doesn't create our alignment for us. God has made us the chooser of that. We get to choose whether or not we will walk in that way. So we have to put on the full armor of God and fight against it, because it's a daily battle to fight the soul. The soul loves to control. So, and the soul isn't necessarily bad, okay? It's just, it needs to have the control stripped from its hands. I don't know if anybody has seen the movie The Incredibles. Okay. So it's a cartoon movie. With a 5-year-old, we're stuck watching cartoon movies. So, but it's about a group of superheroes. And the main character is this superhero that they all have to give up their superhero. They have to go into hiding. And so he gets pretty fat. And so he can't fit into his superhero uniform anymore because he got fat. But he worked his butt off to get back to that place where he could fit into a superhero uniform. And that's what we got to do in order to fit into the armor of God. Our soul has gotten fat and lazy, and it wants to have full control from a seated position, more than likely. But we cannot wear the full armor of God if our soul is in control. I don't think that's possible, because that's a spiritual uniform, so to speak. That's spiritual armor, and the soul fights against that until he comes under the influence of the Spirit. So, I want to read, as we work on getting thinner in the soul, I want us to think about this one part here. I want to read from Genesis chapter 8, and that's the story of Noah. It's the story, really, it's our story. It's part of it's the beginnings of our story of redemption, I think. Noah, it says in chapter 20, chapter 8, verse 20, this verse says, then Noah, this is after everything happened. They waited, I think, a long time before all the water actually dried. It wasn't 40 days and 40 nights. That's as much as it rained. They waited way longer. I don't know how. Do you know how long?
It was like a year of waiting, pretty
much. Okay. So it was a long time. They waited in that ark, in that boat. And so God said to Noah, let out all the animals. And Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. Although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. And so before I expound a little bit on that, I want to read 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to read it from this Bible here. So I should have actually put a mark in here. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Rich, before he left, he encouraged me read other versions of the Bible, and Rich bought some really odd versions of the Bible. They are very strange. This one is called The Heart of Paul, a biblical truth in today's language by a guy named Ben Campbell Johnson. So I want to read 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, and a little bit beyond there. So let me just indulge me here. It says, That just reminds me how utterly grateful I am to God who enables us through Christ to feel worthwhile as persons in situations that call our worth into question. And in the process, he spreads the perfume of his presence into otherwise odious circumstances. I love that picture. Our responses to life have the effect of God-scented perfume, both to those who are being made whole and to those who are disintegrating. To the latter, we have the smell of death, but to the former, we smell like life itself. Who can shoulder such responsibility? My co-workers and I do not dilute God's message with genuine openness because we are sent by God and speak in his presence. We communicate the Christ message. So, with those two scriptures in mind, what I want to bring out of that is the way of fragrance, or the fragrant path, is the way of sacrifice. Something's got to die. Not you, your soul. There has to be a breaking here. And I don't mean your soul will die, but there is the old man has got to die. When you, the interesting part that I read, I never read this before when I read this scripture out of Noah from Genesis. It seems that some of the animals on the ark had one purpose in mind, and that wasn't to replicate. Some of them, God put some of them on that boat to die. Because as soon as Noah got off the boat, he immediately built an altar and sacrificed some birds and animals. Isn't that interesting? So, though we are called to be fruitful and multiply, we are also called into sacrifice. What does that look like? I was looking up sacrifice, and you know, it said sacrifice. You know, so I did what, you know, Joyce gave me this book, and it's an amazing book. It's just, I flippin' love this thing. Everybody needs a copy of this, and they're out there for $16. I get not a penny from it. But so I looked up sacrifice. You and I are not sacrifices, because that is a verb. And last I checked, we're all nouns. So something associated with a sacrifice that's a noun is a burnt offering. And that's what I want to talk about right now. And what's interesting is the songs that I chose. And I chose the songs way before I got the teaching. Every song today talked about sacrifice, blood, death, life. It was amazing. And then, of course, Rick got up and shared something about it, about what I felt like the Lord's saying to us. And it just seems like there's this theme that's going on about sacrifice. But we are a burnt offering. So I looked up the word burnt offering in the Hebrew. And quite honestly, the letters, they look like chicken scratch. I'm sorry, because I don't know the language yet. However, it's important to learn, and it's because as Joyce taught me, and this as Joyce has taught us, when she has taught, the letters in the Hebrew language mean something. And I taught something similar. I taught about something else using this book the other time that I taught. And so I want to look at the letters on the word burnt offering. And it's only three of their letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Okay? So it's not that much. But I want us to look at the letters, and this could possibly reveal our journey to the altar of sacrifice. Because that's where it took me. Okay, so our first letter, and remember what I believe the altar of sacrifice is our perfect alignment. It's getting the soul back in its proper place. Our excellent soul. So the first letter is a letter called the English is A-Y-I-N. A-N? A-N? So, you know, the pronunciations might not be that great, but it's A-N. And what the letter represents, it represents the window to the soul. And it's a letter that sort of, if you looked at it and you squinted a bit, it might look like that it has two eyes. So, what it represents is the window to the soul, which is interesting when you're talking about burnt offerings. Well, what are we supposed to be offering on this altar? It's us. That's our soul. This letter is made up of two other Hebrew letters. The sages will tell you, the ancient Hebrew sages would tell you that this letter is constructed by using two other letters in their language, in their alphabet. And the first letter is Yod. Yod. Or Yod. And that's like a letter in God's name. Yod Heh Vav Heh. Yod. That's one of the letters that makes up this one that they use to construct this one letter. And the other is Zayin. And Yod represents the Spirit of God, where Zayin represents the sword of the Spirit. So that's, you're talking the word and the power. The sword the sword and the word together. And what that spoke to me was this letter called Ayin, the first letter of burnt offering, is beckoning us to a life of balance of the word and the spirit to me. That's one of the things that it was communicating to me, is calling us into a life of balance. And too many people think it's just the word. And then there's other people that think, oh, I love the experience. I don't need the word, I got the experience. And both of those are wrong. They may seem right to some people, but they are not scriptural. What is scriptural is a balance of the word and the end experience. Okay, then we got this second letter. It's called Lamed, I think. Lamed. And the second letter represents, what it represents is a light to the world. This is a very unique letter in that it's the very center of the entire Hebrew Bible. It's the center letter, and it's the tallest letter. So it sort of is it sits above every other letter. It's not making it any better than any of the other letters, but it's taller than all the other letters. And so it's like a sentinel or a watchtower. And they the actual letter itself, let's see. This letter itself, what it mean, it has a meaning called, I've lost my place here. The letter itself, the letters, just to let you know, the letters all themselves, they have names. And the name Lamed in Hebrew means to learn. So what this letter speaks to me is that it wants me to learn. But what does it want me to learn? So the answer to that is, again, this letter is constructed from two other letters in the Hebrew Bible. In the Hebrew alphabet. It's the Vav letter and the Kaf letter. And those two letters, and for those that don't know this, every single letter in the Hebrew alphabet also has a number associated with it. The numeric value of the two letters that make up this other letter, Lamed, equals 26. 26 is the number of God's name, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. God wants us to learn who He is. This letter is calling us in closer to learn about who God is, who God really is. Do you know who God is? I think we can all say to some degree we do. But we need to learn so much more. There is so much that God has hidden. And it's the glory of a king to search Him out. You are a king. You are royalty. It is your job to search God out. And how do you do that? It takes time in His Word and in prayer, in studying Him. That's what this letter is calling us to. We are being called out as a burnt offering to study God. Who is God? So one other interesting thing about this particular letter is that these two letters that make up this one letter, I wish I could write this out and then you would be able to see it, but the one of the letters that makes up the letter Lamed, the second letter of this word, burnt offering, at the bottom of it, it's called Kaf. And what that word means is palm, like the palm of your hand. The second letter that sits on top of it is called Vav, and that means that word, that letter represents the man of the word. It represents us. We are standing in God's hand. We are to stand in God's hand. That's another thing that this word is trying to tell us. We need to stand in God. As His burnt offering, we stand with Him. We stand in Him. And that's how we need to approach Him. The Bible is not a portrait of God. The Bible is a window through which we can know God. So it's not, you're not getting a picture of God. You're getting all of Him. You're getting more than just a two-dimensional God. You're getting a multi-dimensional God. But you have to dig it. You have to find it out. It can't be told. We can only point the doors to one another, for one another. We are responsible to go after God ourselves. God doesn't have any grandchildren. The last letter to me is one of the greatest letters in the Hebrew alphabet. So we've got the first letter Ayin, the second letter is Lamed, the third letter is He. Like Yod He, Vav He, the name of God. He represents the breath of God. Now, what is the breath of God except it's the Spirit of God? When this letter gets placed at the end of, when this letter gets placed at the end of any word, such as the word burnt offering, or the word for burnt offering, it's called a feminine noun, not a masculine noun. And the sages or the heavy thinkers in the Hebrew, this to them, some of them, this letter actually looks like a womb. Okay, so it's birthing. It's the feminine symbol is the creation of birth. What was interesting about this letter to me is that Abram and Sarah, after they went through their ordeal of being broken by God, He changed their names, adding a hey to each of their names. So from Abram and Sarai, or whatever, however they should pronounce their name, it was Abraham and Sarah. A hey was added to their names, to the end of their names, after which they were able to conceive. They became fruitful after they were broken. And God added to their name. He changed their name. And I want to actually read from this book, because this right here is the crux of my message today. So I want you to really tune into this. This is studying the letter Hey. He says, as we conclude this chapter, let me get into a comfortable position here. I have yet to share what the letter Hey means when it is actually spelled out. Like I told you, the other letters, they spell something out, To appreciate its meaning, we must go back to the story of Jacob, Abraham's grandson, whose name means usurper or supplanter. He was named it because he was born into the world grasping his twin brother by his heel. For most of his life, Jacob was continually grasping for something and paying the consequences. After many years of separation from his father, Jacob decided to return home and make amends with his brother, whom he had earlier cheated. In preparation for this meeting, he sent his family, his servants, and cattle ahead to appease the anger that he was sure his brother held for him. When Jacob was finally alone, God came to him and wrestled with him. Sorry, I lost my place. There he goes. All right, God came to him, wrestled with him, and put Jacob's leg out of joint so that he would walk with a limp for the rest of his life. But God also blessed him and changed his name from Jacob the supplanter to Israel, the Prince of God. Jacob would no longer have to grasp and supplant someone else to get what he wanted. There was no need because he was now a prince who no longer needed to grasp for what he wanted. For Jacob, blessing came at the price of brokenness. To make us usable, God must bless us. But he must also break us of our self-will, our pride, which is what God did with Jacob and many other men and women in Scripture. This is the same principle by which Yeshua fed the multitudes. He took what was given to him, blessed it, then he broke it. And it fed 5,000 families with it. Look again, if we look again at the letter He, we notice that it has two legs. And you can't see it, but one of the legs down it is out of joint. This letter always reminds me of Jacob, who became Israel and the father of the 12 tribes. The definition of the word He is to break. May God bless us, break us, and use us for the advancement of his kingdom, and may God also fill us with the breath of his spirit. Isn't that a good page on that? So, what this means for all of us, I think, is for us to be a burnt offering or a sweet-smelling fragrance to the Lord, we must come before the Lord and be open to him, be a window, let our soul be a window to God, allowing God to know who we are and to be known, because to know is to be known. If you know God, then you know you, because you carry his DNA. To seek experience, but also to seek his word. That's the balance. To know who you really are is to know who he really is. He is our center, like the letter Lamed. He is our core. He's our height. He's our depth. He's our king, our all in all. He is the one that animates every one of us. And he does, and he creates the new inside of us. And how does he do that? He does it by breaking us. Breaking our soul so that he can bless us to be fruitful. This is the very thing that all of us desire in our life, to be fruitful, to be blessed. And it comes at a price. It comes at the price of our soul. And that's a good thing when you're in the hand, the palm of Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, in the hand of God, you're good. Even if you got to get broken a little bit, you're still good. It's way better than not being in his hand. Because one way or another, we're all going to get broken. That's what the world does. So we have a destiny in God. Our destiny is to be a burnt offering. Our destiny is to be a sweet-smelling aroma to God, a sweet-smelling incense. I think death to God smells better. Because the way we think of death is not the way God thinks of death, because he's outside of time. He doesn't look at, the rotting body to him is, that's not the second, that's not the death that he's talking about that we escape. Most of us aren't going to get to escape that second death. That's the death of the flesh. We won't get to escape that. What we do escape is an eternity without Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. That's the sting that is gone. One more scripture, 2 Corinthians 4. Therefore, and verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I looked up temporary in the Bible. Guess what it means? Temporary. We don't have to go through anything on that. Temporary might be a long time, but it ain't forever. So what we may be going through right now is not going to last. If it's something that's a trial, it's not something that will last. You just have to keep pushing through it. You know, I heard Bill Johnson say something the other day. He's talking about, you know, I don't know if it's still popular to say, you know, that you're just, God's really dealing with you, or the enemy's really on you, and you're really just going through this really tough time. And he goes, that may well be the case, but it also might be the case that the Lord's possibly in this because you didn't listen to him. So you're in this predicament because you didn't listen. And we get into that place sometimes where we just stop listening to God for a half second, and then all of a sudden we realize, I'm not looking straight ahead, I'm looking to the left or to the right. And I've walked off the path of fragrance. So today let's get back on the path of fragrance. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, Yeshua, HaMashiach, that you are our path, you are our true path. I pray, God, that you would help us to experience the glorious death or breaking of the soul. I pray that you would help us, Holy Spirit, to get into perfect alignment. And to get into that place where our spirit, which has been mixing with the Holy Spirit all of our lives, the Holy Spirit has been speaking to our spirit. And help us to get to that place where our spirit functions the way you want it to function, where our spirit is influencing who we are. Our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions are being influenced by our spirit and not the other way around. Lord, I pray that the outward man, which is perishing, would be completely changed by the spirit. Many times in Scripture, in the New Covenant, the New Testament, when the word spirit was spoken, the writers never understood if it was the Holy Spirit or our human spirits. And there's a good reason for that. It's because it's hard to tell the difference. Believe it or not, it's very hard to tell the difference between the Holy Spirit and our spirit, because they've been mixing and mixing and mixing all of our lives. Why aren't we walking a holy life? Because our spirit is under control of our soul, under the control of the soul. And so we need to retrain the soul to get in line. Well, Lord, I just pray that you would bless us to take back our soul and not let it control anymore, and help us to retrain our soul. To live in unity with our spirit and our body, just as the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit live in unity. Help us each individually to live in that place of unity and walk out our holy existence with you, being at rest, having power, being always able to hear your voice. So I bless these saints of God today in the name of Jesus with perfect alignment. Amen.